In a little bit, we'll have some baskets coming around where you can deposit these cups. And while that's happening, you want to get your outline out of your program, because we do have, there's more to the service. Bonus time. The day after establishing this memorial meal, Jesus indeed went to the cross and on the third day rose again. After that, the next month or so, Jesus appeared to his disciples and he gave them a lot of proof of his bodily resurrection. He ate with them, drank with them, let them touch his hands and feet and side. And he gave them a purpose called the Great Commission, which can be summed up by our mission statement here at Stony Creek Church, which is to make more and better followers of Jesus so that God is glorified. And he gave them a promise of power through the Holy Spirit. He gave that to them with this command. I'm going to put it up there on the screen, but open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be there for a little while today. And you can read along there too. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. He gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As you look at those words in your Bible, imagine being one of the disciples and receiving this incredible purpose from the risen Jesus himself, and being told that something out of this world, the Holy Spirit, was about to come upon you, fill you even. But for now, you need to wait. Just sit on that. Just put a pin in it until it happens. Have you ever felt in your life that things are just taking way too long to happen? It's just, when is this going to happen, Lord? I hope it's not this morning's message, by the way, that you feel like, well, when is this ever going to end? When is this when is this closing prayer going to happen? I'll give you an example, though, and I'll give you an example. We'll revisit it through the message here this morning. About 2 years ago, this church, Stony Creek Church, began seeking a solution to our need for more space, more parking outside, more auditorium seating, more kids' ministry room, and more common area for fellowship on Sundays and at our connection nights and for special events. And we searched. The leadership team went out and we were searching other properties, even walked through one with you guys. But through this prayerful investigation, we discovered that renovating this building and going to multiple services would be the best help for us to continue to grow how we're making more and better followers of Jesus. And it would help us to maintain the intimate service style that we enjoy here in the auditorium. Well, let's fast forward a little bit to 1 year ago now. A year ago, almost to the day, we did a feasibility study. Many of you were involved, you remember that. We were soliciting your information and your deeper prayer as we were looking in deeper into renovating this facility, performing an extreme makeover. And all of that helped us to put together and finalize our plans, which were finally revealed during our Building for the Future campaign last fall. At that campaign, the purpose was to unfold the vision, but also to solicit pledges above and beyond giving that would help to clear our old debt out of the way so that it would open up for the future with a new construction loan and allow us to keep from, going underwater or anything like that. We wouldn't want to do that. Well, as a church, together, we pledged $525,000 in October of 2017. And this was to be given over a three-year period. Others have actually jumped on board. Now we are up to $527,095, excuse me. And just so you know, a little update, since I was looking at the numbers anyway, $166,752.03 have already been fulfilled. Yeah, that's right. That's at the six-month mark of this three-year campaign. We're at the six-month mark right now. So praise God. Praise God, moving among his people. Well, following that campaign in October, we voted by overwhelming majority to go for it. Go for it. So at once, we hired the architect and engineers to produce the construction documents, the detailed plans. And so we had this proof that it was God's will for us to do this, from all the confirmation along the way over the last couple of years. And now we had the plans, we had the purpose to expand how we're making more and better followers of Jesus. We had the proof and the purpose, but then we were waiting for it to all finally be unleashed. I don't know if you've looked around, but we haven't done that construction yet. We didn't slip it past you, okay? And so let me give you a quick update today on that. There were obstacles during the design phase that led to the plans being completed mid-February this year. That's about a month behind the schedule we originally had hoped. And then, because of some vacation schedules at the city of Utica, we weren't able to finally submit these plans until March. So they got submitted to the city in March, later than we hoped. Then, we had hoped they would review these plans in-house, you know. And I'm really thankful the city of Utica worked hard to research if they were equipped to do that, but they discovered in the end, or concluded in the end, that they were not equipped, and so the plans were sent to a third-party reviewer. Unfortunately, this is like a series of unfortunate events here. Lemony Snicket wrote this part of my message. Unfortunately, it took about 3 weeks to make that determination. And so the plans weren't actually submitted to the third-party reviewer until the end of March. And then I just had an update this week, if you read Randy's prayer letter, that the third-party reviewer must be a little backed up because as of last week Thursday, not just a few days ago, last week Thursday, the plans had not even been opened yet by the third-party reviewer. I want to be transparent with you here, family. All right? And so, you know, here we are sitting on this. We're excited. We're chomping at the bit for all of this to happen, but we're in the waiting. Well, that's at the church level, but that's true in our lives in many ways, isn't it? We all experience things in our personal lives where we're just waiting on this next step. Maybe it's a single person that's just waiting for God to bring that right one into my life. You know, God, I've been praying for this person to come into my life. I want to get married, start a family, but it hasn't happened yet. You're waiting. Maybe it's a couple that's trying to become pregnant. They've been praying and trying to become pregnant, and they're wondering, when is the Lord going to bring this? Maybe it's a career opportunity or that next promotion. You know, you can think of the thing that's in your life. You can insert it there. Maybe it's a breakthrough in the life of a loved one. Your heart's breaking for your loved one that's going through something, and you're praying for a breakthrough to come, but you're still waiting. I see those things on Facebook in the prayer requests. I see them in the prayer letter. A lot of us have something we're waiting on. And so let's see what the apostles did here in the book of Acts as they were waiting, sitting on something very exciting, knowing God was just going to do something quick, but right now they're waiting, and they're anxious, and they want it to happen. I would be anyways. It doesn't say they were anxious, to be fair to the apostles. I just know where I'd be. But let's see what they did, because here's the thing. When their wait was over, they rocked the world. The Holy Spirit arrived, and these guys, these men and women, through the power of the Holy Spirit, changed the world. They brought the gospel to all nations, and the world was changed. And so let's see what they did during this time. We're going to wrap it up in our main idea today. Very easy to remember, very quick to write down. Four words, When something is taking too long, it goes like this. Write it down. Wait on the Lord. That's it. Not something I've never heard before. Wait on the Lord, Chris. That's all you got for me? I've got a coffee mug that says that. I know. It's on many a bumper sticker, many a decorative pillowcase. If you go to a Christian bookstore, you'll find that written all over the place. But what does it really mean to wait on the Lord? Besides just a quick statement we can say, a little slogan, what does it really mean? This is an ancient expression. This is an ancient expression in the Bible. We see this all through the Psalms and Proverbs. I'm going to read a couple to you. In Psalm 5:3, it reads like this. It says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice." He's praying to the Lord. He says, "In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." This psalm, by the way, was during a time of national opposition. The psalmist is calling out for the Lord's help and waiting on him to act. In Psalm 27, it reads, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." He repeats himself. It's important. This was during a time of the psalmist's personal distress. He says, "Even my own parents have turned against me. And what can I do?" The prescription, wait on the Lord for his deliverance. It's going to come. Your job is to wait on the Lord. But what is it? It's not just sitting around, twiddling your thumbs, you know, being bored. Waiting on the Lord means drawing near to him. It means aligning with his will, his purpose. It means being prepared by the Lord for what he has next. If God's got us waiting for something, he's doing something with us until that happens. And so we want to make this waiting worthwhile. As a church, we're waiting on these plans to come back so we can get going with this renovation. In your life, you're waiting on something. Well, let's make this waiting worthwhile. And so quickly, let's look at three keys to worthwhile waiting there on your outline. And each is present in Acts chapter 1. The first one is to prioritize obedience. Write down obedience. Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." The last thing Jesus told them to do was wait. But like I've said, I bet this was hard for this group. I mean, they had the biggest news since creation, that Jesus arose from the dead after paying for the sins of humanity on the cross, that this was available to all people everywhere. They're sitting on this news. Beyond that, this group, if you read the Gospels, has a history of making, shall I say, dumb and impulsive decisions. These guys were quick to rush into things, you know, and so I bet it was hard, but they've learned their lesson here. They finally get it. When Jesus tells us to do something, let's do that thing Jesus told us to do. Look how it goes on in the passage. In verse 12, we'll pick it up in Acts chapter 1. It says, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem." He said, "Go to Jerusalem, wait." What did they do? It says they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They obey Jesus. They stay in Jerusalem waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord by following his commands. This is a rich theme in the Psalms and the prophets. Look at Psalm 119. The psalmist writes this. He says, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." Help me out. "I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands." I wait for your salvation, for you to act, Lord, and in the meantime, I am following your commands. Worthwhile waiting is about following God, believing that what he wants for you and what he has for you to do is best. So we're doing that. In our case, God has given Stony Creek Church a big dream of what ministry will look like when this renovation is complete. We're excited by it. We should be excited by it. These are big things. But we don't say to ourselves, well, we'll just put off ministry until this renovation is done. You know, we'll just, let's not worry about making more and better followers of Jesus right now because we want this new facility. And no, of course not. We keep obeying Jesus now. We gave the gospel this service and it'll be at every service all the time because we want to keep making more and better followers of Jesus. We continue to do what he said, to follow him. In fact, I want to give you one opportunity here this morning in the most tactful way possible to obey Jesus in this area of helping us with the building pledge. Maybe somebody here this morning is being called to make a new pledge toward the campaign. Perhaps you weren't sure about what you wanted to do back during the fall when we launched it, or maybe you're newer to the church and you're like, I want to jump on with this. Something exciting is happening here and I want to be a part of it. You know, our original goal for this campaign was to raise $600,000 over 3 years. And so if you remember what I said we raised before, you know that there's room for you to help us to still meet that goal, that extra $72,905. One of you right now could just pledge that and we'd be all set. Did I go? I went too far. All right, got it. Read in the room. You thought that was a joke, so I'm going to pretend it was. Okay. No, just so you know, if you're interested or want more information, we do have some updates back there and some pledge cards. It looks like this. It's a little booklet that says updates and invites. And this is just telling the story of how we got here and what we're doing right now. It has little updates in there. And then there's a pledge card if you'd like to. That's one way. But you know, this is true, again, in our personal lives as well. I've counseled a lot of couples that are looking to get married, and some of them were living together and sleeping together. And I've challenged when a couple comes to me and would like to be married, and I see that that's the case, I challenge them to honor God by turning away from that. You know, move out from living together, decide not to sleep together anymore until you're married. Turn the purity of this relationship over to the Lord. Commit to it from now and the rest of your relationship together to live for him, and it starts right now. And I know for these couples that are waiting for that wedding day, it would be easy, and some have made this decision, it would be easy to say, we're going to be married in, 6 months anyways or 3 months anyways, and so what's the point of doing it now? You know, we were already living together. We've already slept together. Well, the point is you're here to obey the Lord. And couples have done that. They've said, you know what? You're right. They've taken me up on that. I've seen guys move out of the house, or maybe the girl moves back in with her folks or whatever. They work it out. We've even helped people at the church, figure that out with them because, hey, if you want to obey the Lord, we're going to help you, We're going to rally behind you for that. And I know God has blessed those relationships. I've seen these folks. They get married, and they're starting off with the right on the right foot by obeying the Lord. If you're waiting on God to move in an area of your life, keep trusting him and his timing. It may be taking longer than you like, but as you're waiting, keep doing what God has called you to do right now. Keep obeying him today. The second key to worthwhile waiting, you want to write it down on your outline, is to focus on God's plans. Focus on God's plans. We see in verse 14, we read it earlier, but I'm going to put it up in a little bit different translation this time that just kind of draws out the meaning a little bit of the word together, I think, real well here. In Acts 1:14, it reads, "The apostles often met together," and help me out, "and prayed with a single purpose in mind." They prayed with a single purpose in mind. The women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who would meet with them, and so would his brothers. This is unity happening here, and it's all around God's purpose for them. They're coming together to pray together, to be unified around what God has called them to do. They have focus on God's plan. Luke draws this out by mentioning the women. That would have been a big deal back then, that the women were there mixed in with the men. Back then, that was kind of a big deal, and Luke's highlighting that they had unity here around God's plan and God's purpose. That's their focus. They're not worried about their own deal anymore. They're worried about what God is doing. In our church, as we wait for these documents to be reviewed, we're focusing on the goal. We keep up, you know, updating each other, and we keep working on the things that we can work on. The apostles replaced Judas, who betrayed Jesus during this time. So the things they could work on as they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, they took care of business. We've been taking care of our mobile plan, you know, for we're going to rent Shelby Junior High when we're doing the construction. So we're getting that in place and all the mobile equipment we need. And we've been working to pay down that construction debt. I want to update you on that we've cut our current mortgage by $135,000 in just the last year. That's the pledge money at work. I think 115 of that was just in the last 6 months. This pledge or this campaign is working. It's working. And so we focus on God's plan and we keep working it. We keep working the plan and keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then there's a third key to worthwhile waiting. You want to write down this last one as we wrap up here this morning. And it's crucial. It's persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. The passage read, they all joined together constantly in prayer. And they just kept doing that regularly as they waited on the Lord. This group finally learned a lesson that Jesus was trying to teach them during his whole 3 years of earthly ministry. There was a time in Jesus' ministry where he was away from most of his disciples, and they were trying to cast this demon out of a child, and they couldn't. A father had brought the child, and it wasn't working. Jesus showed up, you know, cast the demon right out, and they said, well, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus' response to them in Mark 9, he said, this kind can only come out by prayer. Did the disciples not think to pray? No, he wasn't talking about the recital of a specific prayer. He's talking about prayerful reliance on God, a lifestyle of reliance on God in prayer. When they said, why couldn't we cast out the demon? Jesus said, you don't have what it takes to cast out a demon by yourself like this. You need the power of God to do it. How do you access that? A lifestyle of prayer, constant prayer. These guys finally get it. They're meeting together regularly, praying for this mission that Jesus has given them so that when the Holy Spirit shows up, the world is changed because they are just submitting to his will and going gangbusters. Church family, we need to be relying on God through this whole process in prayer for this extreme makeover. It's bigger than us. It was bigger than us from the beginning. This was an intimidating task, you know, this time last year. We thought, man, can we really do this? And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. It's been in the prayer letter, an update on Facebook, and you've been praying, and we've gotten to this point where we're standing on the cusp of it all happening, so we don't stop now. While we're waiting for the plan to keep going for the next step, will you join us in prayer? Will you keep up the prayer you've already been doing? Not just prayer for this thing to wrap up quickly. Here's some things to pray for. Pray for our vision, the mission of the church. Pray for people to come to Christ when this facility is renovated. Pray that Christians will be built up here in this place. That's why we're doing it. Pray for our time going mobile when that happens, that it would be a time of team building as we take on this special project together. Pray for the people at Shelby Junior High, that we would be a witness to them, that somebody might, maybe a custodian, hears the gospel Randy's preaching on a Sunday and trusts in Christ, that God has a purpose for us to be in that location at that particular Sunday. Pray for the people working on this building, of course, for their safety and things, definitely, but for them to be impacted. There's no guarantee everybody working on this building is a believer. But maybe as we're showing up and checking in on them and maybe delivering, you know, some water or something to encourage the workers, maybe they are drawn to Christ. Pray for these things to happen. Pray that when we move back into this building that our community notices. pray that we use the resource God gives us, continue to use the resource God gives us to its fullest to reach this community and beyond with the gospel of Christ. We're going to close our service here with a last song. The band can come out for that. And have our time of offering here in just a moment. But what are you waiting on for the Lord to move in your life today? Well, while you wait, keep obeying the Lord. Keep focusing on His plan for you, what He's called you to do. And keep praying, persist in prayer, calling out to Him. I call out to the Lord day and night, the psalmist says, and I wait on His salvation. Let's be a church that waits on the Lord, and when He moves, oh man, we will be prepared because we've been waiting in a worthwhile way. Let's pray together. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You for the task that You've given us. We continue the same task that the church had back in Acts chapter 1. The task to be Your witnesses into all the earth. Lord, we're part of that. We're here because they waited for You, and when the Holy Spirit came, they changed the world, and now we are the benefactors here 2,000 years later in Utica. Thank You, Lord, for that. Lord, as we wait on You as a church for the next step, may we be a church that obeys You, that focuses on Your will, and continues to meet with You and depend on You in prayer. Lord, we give You these offerings as an act of worship and thanksgiving, and we pray that You would advance Your kingdom through those gifts that are given here today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.